You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine, along with co-host Pat Traina, and we are coming to you on Thursday, the day of the final Giants preseason game, when they face the New England Patriots tonight at MetLife Stadium. Patty, you ready for one final dress rehearsal?
I am ready, as always, Ed. You know, let's play some football.
There you go. And, you know, the thing about tonight is that there's going to be a whole lot of Giants players who won't be playing football, as everybody really, you know, has come to understand. You know, many of the big names, many of the starters won't play at all tonight. Tonight is a night for guys to fight for roster spots, to put film out there for teams, you know, in the event that they get cut. So tonight is about the guys at the end of the roster and the guys who won't make the roster.
Yeah, you know, this is the time of year that, you know, if you're a coach, it kind of sucks because, you know, you've been with these, for the most part, you've been with the same 90 men since the spring, and you've gotten to know them. You've gotten to know them as people, as players, and now comes, you know, your final hurrah, if you will, and you know, literally the day after this, you know, this is over, you have to sit down and you have to tell a good more than half of them that, sorry, you're just not good enough for the roster. And it's just it's something that I would be willing to bet very few head coaches in the NFL look forward to doing.
I can't imagine any of them look forward to doing it, Patty. It can't be fun, you know, to have to tell 35 or 40 guys that you've worked with for months that their services are no longer required. You know, that their dreams in all likelihood, you know, for many of them, their NFL dreams will be over. So, you know, it can't be fun, can't be something anybody looks forward to.
Definitely isn't, you know, look, the coach has a job to do, the GM has a job to do, and that's to put together the best 53-man roster that they can and make it, you know, as competitive as they can. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it's a matter of, you know, not necessarily a guy having a bad preseason. It's just that, you know, he gets caught up in the numbers game, or, you know, in some cases it's an injury, you know. So it's just, there's a variety of circumstances, but any way you cut it, it's just never a fun time, I would think, for a GM or for a head coach to have to say, sorry, son, you're not going to be part of this team.
No, Patty, and we have a job to do as well, and our job today is to get you ready for tonight's game. What we will do here, we'll go through three different segments, offense, defense, and special teams, with some of the things that we'll be looking forward to. We're not going to do a full position-by-position breakdown for you, but we will sort of highlight some of the things that Patty and I will both be looking for offensively and defensively. Patty, let's start with the offense, and let's start with you know, with a player or position group, you know, maybe that you will be paying particular attention to tonight on offense.
Two words: offensive line. I have to see something from the depth players that gives me confidence that they are headed in the right direction. So far, the depth behind the starters has just been pedestrian at best. And I am growing concerned, because all it takes is for, you know, an injury to rock the starting five. And if you don't have solid depth, and you know what? We saw that last year where they had to scramble and plug guys in and shift, you know, two guys to satisfy one injury. I'm not so sure they're in a better place this year, at least based on what I've seen. So I got to see more out of the offensive line.
I would agree with that, Patty. The thing that where I'm concerned, and we've talked about it before, I'm okay with the depth on the inside, even after the trade of Brett Jones. I think the Giants have John Greco. They have John Jerry. They have Chris Scott. Zach Karen is another guy with NFL experience. I haven't really seen enough of him to draw any real judgment or make any real judgment. But I remain really, really concerned about the depth on the outside. I just don't know if Chad Wheeler and Nick Becton can cut it as the depth on the outside at the tackle positions. I remain convinced that an offensive tackle will be on this 53-man roster, who's currently playing for someone else.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Ed, and I think what might need to happen, and this certainly would not surprise me, but they may need to, throw a lot of money at somebody who's coming off the waiver wire. If a good guy, if a good quality tackle shakes loose, and that's a big if, because look, they don't just grow on trees, and it's very rare that teams throw guys like that, that have that kind of value out onto the street. But, they're going to have to be competitive. And, I wrote a piece for The Athletic that hit today, and I talked about how Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract negotiation and the trade of Brett Jones is actually going to help the Giants with being competitive, because now they're going to have a little bit more money to go out there and bid on guys that do shake free. But the question is, will somebody shake free?
No, it's a good question, Patty, for the simple reason that everyone around the league is looking for help at the on the offensive line. I think Mike Maccagnan said on the radio the other day, Maccagnan is the Jets GM, that every general manager he has spoken to has talked about a need for help on the offensive line. So the Giants will not be alone in looking for that offensive line help. These tackles are going to be a valuable commodity. Many of the better ones that might shake loose will probably shake loose via trade. So it's going to be difficult to get that player that the Giants need. And we'll just, from my perspective, I have my fingers crossed that they're able to pull it off, because I just don't think they've got adequate depth out there right now.
I agree with you, Ed. The depth has me very concerned. I've been saying that going back to week one, and we'll just see what they come up with a solution. I know you did a piece on Big Blue View about could they maybe trade somebody, and I would say, well, who are you going to trade? It's to me, I'm not so sure that's the option there, but we'll see. Dave Gettleman has been known to pull rabbits out of his hat, so we'll see what he comes up with.
Patty, let's talk about another position of interest, at this point. I mean, the offensive line is definitely, priority one. But for me, the other one that is really, really interesting, heading into tonight is the wide receiver position. I mean, we know, we have Odell Beckham, we have Sterling Shepard, and we have, Cody Latimer probably at the top three wide receivers. I'm pretty certain that Russell Shepard is making the roster. I'm still not 100% certain who the fifth guy is going to be. It's probably Hunter Sharp, but I still think there's an opportunity, for other guys there. So I'm still curious to see, if anyone, in that wide receiver group steps forward, and particularly to see if Roger Lewis, can finally, make some sort of a statement that he deserves a roster spot, or at least does enough to get the attention of some other NFL teams out there tonight.
What's interesting, Ed, is, in the past when the Giants would cut guys from the roster after training camp ended, a lot of them would not necessarily get picked up right away by other teams. And I think this year, that's going to change. Now, again, I don't want to go too deep into roster projections, because I do have something coming out on that. But, as we learn who the cuts are going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how many of those guys do land up with another team. I think there's going to be, a good handful of them Roger Lewis is certainly a player, you know, when he is consistent and he does all the little details that he needs to do, he can be very, very useful in an offense. The problem is he's not always consistent, and it drives you crazy to watch him.
Yes, it does, Patty. Patty, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. We do have a sponsor this week. That would be MyBookie. So let's hear from them before we come back and talk more about the Giants. You know, Giants fans, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking Patty and I for advice. Often, that's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you've got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. MyBookie is your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and have a mobile site that is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. We urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy football players out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to claim your bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Giants fans, Ed Valentine and Patricia Traina here on Locked On Giants, talking Giants, as they get ready to face the New England Patriots tonight in their final preseason game. We talked about some of the things we're looking forward to watching on offense tonight in our earlier segment. Let's turn our attention to defense now. Patty, why don't you go ahead and go first and talk about what you're looking forward to seeing tonight, you know, from the Giants on defense.
I think the obvious place we have to start is in the defensive secondary. You know, we've got to see how the depth at cornerback resolves itself. You know, who's going to be number three, number four, number five. We have to see what ends up happening at safety. Now, I am projecting that they keep five safeties. Landon Collins, Andrew Adams, Curtis Riley I have as my starter, Michael Thomas. And I also have William Gay making the team. But, you know, can Darian Thompson, if he is healthy, and he, you know, I don't know if he's going to play because he hasn't practiced all week, but does he somehow survive, you know? Is Sean Chandler going to sneak up and steal a spot? A lot of question marks in that defensive secondary, and especially at number one, and, you know, regarding the free safety spot, and then cornerback.
Patty, I think that's really the obvious place, you know, to talk about on defense is the secondary. I think we'll get a couple of answers tonight when it comes to free safety and the slot corner position. You know, Pat Shurmur hasn't really been willing to say, you know, who the starters are in those two spots, but I think that you know, actions often speak louder than words, and we will see tonight if Curtis Riley, you know, gets the final preseason game starter treatment, you know, as at the free safety spot, which basically means he wouldn't play. Same for B.W. Webb, who's taken most of the first team reps in the slot. If those guys aren't on the field tonight, we know who the starters are in those two spots. But the depth spots at corner, the depth spots at safety, still a huge question. I mean, I wonder, I look at William Gay, I look at Andrew Adams, I look at Darian Thompson, and to me, you know, two of those three guys are making the team. I'm just not sure which two. And I look at the reserve corner spots, And as we talked about with offensive line, I believe that that's another position where the Giants will be looking at roster cuts, you know, come Saturday to see if anyone they believe can help them shakes loose.
Yeah, you know, one thing we have to mention, I think, when we talk about veterans that they might pick up that come from other teams, you got to be careful about, you know, making projections, because there is a rule in place where if you sign a veteran, a vested veteran who has at least 4 years of experience, and you add him to your roster week one, you are on the hook now for the entire season. His entire salary becomes guaranteed. So even if that guy, you know, you decide after 2, 3, 4 weeks, oh, he's not a fit, you're still on the hook for his salary. So I just have a feeling, Ed, that they're going to be very, very judicious that, you know, in the first 48 hours or so after roster cuts are made regarding who they add. And then come week two, that's when I think you're going to see a lot more movement on the roster.
I think so, Patty. I know it drives fans crazy because they want these issues to be solved, you know, right now. But you do oftentimes, you know, see teams wait until week two and to make those moves. You know, there are a few other roster battles in the front seven, or at least players, you know, worth mentioning. I think Pat Shurmur talked a little bit this week about Romeo Okwara. I still can't really see a spot on the roster for Okwara, but let's see if he can do some things tonight to force his way into the picture. You know, backup inside linebacker, you know, there's still some competition there between Mark Herzlich and Calvin Munson. So some roster battles, you know, all the way across on defense that should make tonight interesting to watch.
Absolutely. I mean, look, this is what preseason is all about. And this is why when people say, oh, God, it's preseason, who cares? This is where your team takes shape, whether you realize it or not. So how anybody can sit there and say, oh, I don't care, it's preseason. Okay, yeah, the quality of football is probably not what you're accustomed to or expecting. But again, this is where the team starts to take shape. And, you know, when it never ceases to amaze me, because sometimes I'll mention a guy's name and I'll have like two or three people on Twitter say to me, who's that? And these are people who in their bio say world's biggest Giant fan or number one Giant fan. And I'm like, well, if you're, and you don't know who's on the team. I mean, but this is your opportunity to see that. And, you know, you raise a good point with the linebacker, you know, in particular, you know, that's still a little unsettled. Romeo Okwara has a golden opportunity, but again, that's all going to depend on how long they anticipate Olivier Vernon might be sidelined. So there could also be a scenario, Ed, where, you know, guys don't make the roster out of camp, but if they don't sign elsewhere, I'm sure they will be on speed dial should they be needed down the line once the season gets started.
Sure. You know, as you were talking about, Patty, this is not only the coaching staff's opportunity to really look at these guys, really get some game film, get an extended look at these guys. It's the fans' opportunity as well, because winning and losing in the NFL requires more than Eli Manning, Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley, Olivier Vernon, and Landon Collins. It requires the full 53-man roster, the full 63-man roster if you count the practice squad guys. By the end of the season, it might require, you know, 65 or 70 guys having been part of the active roster at one time or another. And they'll all in some way be asked to make a contribution. So it's really your chance to familiarize yourself. The preseason as a whole is your chance to familiarize yourself with who these guys are, with what you feel like the Giants need. Obviously, you know, the games don't count in the standings, but I think it's always a great opportunity to learn more about your favorite football team.
It sure is, you know, and what takes place now, you know, and just look at what Shermer has done in the practices. You know, again, for those who don't follow preseason, Shermer has been, you know, putting the guys in pads every opportunity he can. He's been running full practices in, you know, ridiculously hot weather. I mean, these last couple of days down here in the New York metro area have been brutal heat-wise. And this is all building blocks that are going to, you know, hopefully translate into the team being better conditioned, being better prepared, having better depth. Just so many little things. And, you know, I just think it's been a great opportunity to watch it all unfold and see how Shermer's been stacking it up, you know, little by little by little.
Patty, let's take one more quick break. Then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about special teams and we'll wrap up the show for today. All right, Giants fans, Ed Valentine and Patricia Traina here with our latest edition of Locked On Giants. I thought we would turn our attention now to special teams, which there's really only one question on special teams at this point, Patty. And that question for me, at least when it comes to roster spots, is has Hunter Sharp actually locked up the job as maybe the fifth wide receiver and the team's punt returner?
Yeah, I think you're right there, Ed. I mean, Aldrick Rosas has locked up the kicking competition job. I think he did that, you know, I want to say a couple weeks ago. But really the big question mark is at that kickoff and punt returner's job. Now, it was interesting because last week during his conference call, Pat Shermer was asked, can you keep a guy who is strictly a specialist and doesn't really contribute on offense or defense? And he mentioned, you know, keeping, Marcus Shirelles, I think, and the Vikings, who was a specialist and, you know, didn't really give much in terms of defense. The Giants already have a guy in Zach Diossi, their long snapper, who, you know, hasn't contributed as a linebacker in I don't know how many years. And I think part of the equation there, when you ask yourself, can you afford to do that, is you have to look at the injury situation and say, okay, do I have a good injury situation to where I don't need to give up certain luxuries, such as carrying, you know, a Hunter Sharp who might not contribute on offense, but who's going to be, you know, a key member of special teams?
You know, Patty, that actually is one of the reasons why I think that when you look at Hunter Sharp and his primary competition and for a roster spot at this point is in Khalif Raymond, why I think that Sharp has the advantage. Sharp's a 5'11", 198, 200-pound guy, and despite the fact that he had a couple of drops last week, you know, Khalif Raymond is a 5'9", 160-pound player who really is going to be a pure specialist. He probably isn't going to give you anything, you know, as a wide receiver. I think that you know, when push comes to shove, I think simply because of build and all of that, I think that Sharp has the opportunity, at least, you know, to give you something as a wide receiver if the need be. I mean, and that's not even talking about, you know, the 55-yard punt return for a touchdown last week. That was nice. It was a beautiful return. It was well blocked. You know, Khalif Raymond did a nice job returning punts last week as well, had a 35-yard return of his own. I just think that when you look at those two guys, the little bit of versatility that Hunter Sharp offers you is probably, for me, the deciding factor between those two guys.
I would agree with you, Ed, on that. I mean, look, the more you can do for a football team, the better. You know, that's a given. I think coaches say that all the time. Players say that all the time. But at the same time, there's the old expression, jack of all trades, master of none. And, you know, if you do too much and you don't really excel in a specific area, then are you really helping yourself or the team?
No, you're probably not. I mean, if you if you can do a bunch of things, but you can't really do any of them, you know, at what you would consider an NFL level, then that's obviously not going to help a team. So, I mean, you have to be able to basically put a marker down and do something at an NFL level. And it's nice if you can do a couple of other things, you know, in an emergency to help your team as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to be able to help out in a pinch. But, you know, at the same time, if your skill set isn't a match for what your team needs help in, you end up hurting the guy. Hurting the team. So it's a fine balance. But the good news is the Giants have a coaching staff that is all about teaching. One of the things I've really liked about them is how they really don't raise their voices when they're out there conducting practices. It's all about teaching, correcting mistakes, being patient with mistakes, because they know that these guys aren't going to get it perfect all the time. And when it comes to the game, that's when the expectations are raised a little bit, especially, you know, in the preseason. They look at it as an opportunity. If you're going to make a mistake, let's get them out of the system now so that when we open up the season, we're running like a fine-tuned machine.
Patty, before we call it a show for today, why don't we take the opportunity to tell folks a little bit about what we each have coming up. I know that you have a lot of interesting work coming up in many of the places where your work is published. And I have a few things that I want to tell folks about as well. So why don't you go ahead and let people know about a few things that you've got in the works here.
Absolutely. On The Athletic, I'm working on a big roster projection piece, which I think is going to hit Friday. It'll be out Friday morning. And in that piece, I take a look at the cap because, you know, I'm constantly asked, what's the cap situation look like? What are we going to be able to do? You know, I'm going to try and answer all those questions and look at it from in terms of the top 51 and then, you know, the 53-man roster when the top 51 rule expires next week. So I'm going to look at both aspects of it and try to calculate what kind of space they have. Over on Forbes, I'm going to be doing something following the cuts. I'm going to break all that information down. And, you know, obviously tonight after the game, I'll have some post-game analysis and whatnot on the Maven. And I may even throw in a film study. I have to see what happens, you know, out of the game tonight, especially if, you know, a surprise player makes the roster or something. So I might do something on that. So a lot of analytical work coming up. I'm going to be a busy girl this weekend.
Always are, Patty. You always are. And at Big Blue View, I guess at SB Nation, the first thing that I want people to do is go to sbnation.com/NFL and check out the massive and outstanding piece of work that our friends at the flagship SB Nation site have put together for an NFL preview. That hit on Wednesday, and that's a tremendous piece of work, which, you know, to toot my own horn, includes a piece from yours truly on Dave Gettleman, Eli Manning, Pat Shurmur, the choices that the Giants have made, you know, entering the 2018 season, and basically, you know, what's on the line for everybody considering the path that they've chosen. Also, with roster cuts coming up, we'll have a tracker on Saturday. We'll have everything covered. As Patty's doing at The Athletic, we'll have a final roster projection. And I think as a Locked On Giants preview, folks, I think what we're going to do on Friday is to do a show comparing Patty's projection to my projection. We'll see where we agree, where we disagree. I have a feeling we're going to agree on most of the roster, but I'm anxious to see where we don't agree because there's invariably going to be a couple of places there. So that should be fun. And with that said, Giants fans, please check out Patty at Patricia_Traina on Twitter. Check out at Big Blue View to find my work on Twitter. We thank you as always for listening, and we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.